Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Yontov, Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Gimel, Chapter 8, Law 13, in the Mizrahim text, page 304 and 305.
Mister, we talked about the importance of who you're buried next to.
Yes, that was part of it. Now we're going to stoves and ovens. Yud Gimel. Tanur V'Kiraim. Those are two different kinds of stoves that was in the days of the Talmud. And that you're making, you, question is, can you make a stove on Chol HaMoed? Because you need one. So if, and they're making them out of clay. So when you're making out of the clay, they need time to dry before you can use the stove. So she'efshar she'if shuva yoifa behem b'moed, if they could dry out and you end up baking with them on Chol HaMoed, then oisin, you can make such an oven or a stove on Chol HaMoed. It's definitely tzarech moed. You need it for yontif. V'im la, but if they're not going to be ready or dry before the Chol HaMoed is over, ein oisna son, you do not make them. Now, the commentaries explain, what if you're using the stove not so much for baking food, but to keep the house warm?
Oh, that's a different situation.
That's okay. I guess even if it's not totally dried, you can make the house warm, but it wouldn't work for baking. Similarly, if, let's say, a window broke and it's very cold, you're allowed to fix the window for that, the commentaries say. But, ubenkach, and regardless if it dries or not, there seems to be another type of addition they built to the top of the stove. Bonim al cheresh shel tanur, valakira hatfela shelahem, they build a little upper layer over these ovens. Now, what's the purpose of this upper layer? It serves to insulate and keep the oven's heat. Alright? So, in other words, you got the oven, and it seems for whatever reason they wanted to make it a more heavy-duty oven, so they put an upper layer, and that keeps the heat inside hotter. It stays hotter. So let's say you want to make that on Chol HaMoed. So whether it'll be ready or not, you can do it. Why? Because even if it's not ready, it'll insulate to some extent. Even if it's not totally dry, it'll still provide some kind of insulation. So as you can do that, and also, umesorgin esamitos, you can tie cords around certain beds. It's referring to hammocks. In the Talmudic era, the beds were more like hammocks. So if you plan on using that bed, you gotta tie the cords, you're allowed to do this. All things that are tzorche moed, things you need to do for homed, which are allowed. Similarly, venokrim esarechaim, now we're talking about a mill, where you're going to be using it to grind your flour. So there's different activities you need to make the mill operable for you to grind your flour on yontif, which is a malacha you're allowed to do on yontif to have bread. V'nokrin es ha-rechaim, you can poke open, you can clean out the rechaim, u'poslim ayin, and you open up a certain hole that this mill needs. I don't know exactly how that works, but u'mamidim also, and you also can stand them up, in a way that they stand properly. U'bonin amasamayim, you can even build, remember what amasamayim was? It's a little creek that is an amadi.
All right, the ama.
Because why do you need water for a mill? The water makes the mill go round, right?
It's the windmill.
A water mill. So therefore, you can make the amas hamayim, that creek that makes the mill go, shel rechaim of the rechaim. That's all permitted. All these things are part of sorech ochel nefesh, physical needs on yonte for Chol HaMoed, and therefore you're allowed to do it, and you don't even have to do it with a shinui. It's tzarchemo that's allowed.
I think it's implied that what you grind, you have to use for yonte.
Obviously, you're doing it for yonte. If you're planning to do this all for after yonte, you can't do it at all. Next.
How if you do lots, and you use some of it for yonte? Is that alright, or do you have to only grind
what
you
I should really only do what you use for yonte.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know exactly how much
you could be a little bit off, but if you normally need, 5 kilos for the whole yontif. You can't make 300 kilos, right? Okay, make 6 kilos, 7 kilos. Right? Now we're talking about barrels and jugs that have wine. So let's say you got a barrel. So, zovsin es hachovis kidesh lo yifsad ayayim. You can seal a jug of wine so that the wine will not be spoiled. Now over here, even the Mephorshim say, even though it will be a tircha, it'll be a bother, because it's a bigger job to seal a whole jug, but the loss of the wine is significant. So to avoid that significant loss, the zovsin is a bakbuk, and you can seal a bottle which is much smaller. Mipnei she'em bo torach, because there isn't such much bother, but then again there isn't
that's
so
value.
Much loss. Okay. So the less the value, it has to be correlated with less effort that has to
remember
be made.
That?
You can also seal the mouth of a barrel, the opening of a barrel of beer, shouldn't diminish in value as well. And also, you can cover ketzios, kiros are fruits that are laid out to dry out that you want to eat on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed. You can cover them up, so it shouldn't spoil. You can soften up clothes with your hands, because that's not skilled labor. I guess you also want the clothes to be nice for Chol HaMoed. We're not talking about washing the clothes. It's just, I guess the clothes were stiff.
Too much starch.
So they already were washed in starch, but now you want to wear it. So you got to.
It's probably leather.
Aval einosim krisha beis hayadayim. You can't make cuffs. Mipnei shumaisum, because that's already a professional job. V'chein kol kayetzim, and anything similar to that. Tesla. Kotzitzim tziporne chamor shel rechaim. They would use donkeys to pull the mills. Different mills, they'd be pulling, the donkeys would be pulling whatever has to be pulled. So you may cut the nails
the hooves,
whatever. Tziporne literally means nails.
Whatever
it is. Of the donkey who pulls that rechayim, that's needed for the moed use. Why? Because if the hoof isn't properly cut or whatever, he can't pull the mill properly. And
it's painful.
That's what I'm saying. It's painful. So to avoid the pain, you gotta cut or trim the hooves, whatever. Also, ubon in avos labem, you can build a food trough for the animals as well. You need to be able to feed your animals properly. Now, what about the sushi or kavav? What about a horse you ride on? Mutalitol tziparnav l'sarkakiliaposo. You can also cut the hooves, whatever, and comb the hair proper, the mane. They're supposed to make it look nice, and that's all part of riding a horse. The horse has to, you know, you don't want to ride a filthy horse and things like that. So you want it to look nice.
It's
all part of the riding process. It's not, you know, something that's necessary to ride it properly.
What's the horse we're using it for? What are we using a horse for?
To ride it. You want to go for it's like a car, right? The local car.
Oh, we're talking about Chol HaMoed now.
Chol HaMoed. Right.
I can understand cutting his nails, but I don't understand making it look attractive.
The mane. You're combing the mane, you know.
So why does it have to look attractive? Could you wash your car?
We're going to talk about it. Our opinions say you could. So, you know, you want to go on a filthy horse. You want to comb it out. It's nicer to...
You got nice clothes on. Wait a second. You got nice clothes on. The horse is a little...
It's all might, remember?
Oh, yeah. You have to wear nice clothes.
You got to wear nice clothes. So if the horse is schmitzig, you want to clean it off a little bit before you ride it.
So that's the main reason.
Not yonder,
the Chol HaMoed. No, but I mean the Chol HaMoed.
What do you have
to
mean?
No, to
beautify
the, well,
you comb the horse.
To make, is that comb. Part of the, you know, wearing your
bag? Yeah, whatever. Listen, you're dressed in your suit and top hat. You're riding on a horse. The horse should look nice,
city
too. It doesn't look nice
for
you.
The mane and the braids. And
whatever. It doesn't look nice that you have a schlucky horse, you know. It's not during the week. It's one thing, but it's, you know, it's every
day. I even know for, let's my brother plays polo. He has like 8 horses, and they all are groomed and combed before each game. That look good.
There you have it.
The
you got
the shape
it.
Shape in the
that's,
horse's
that's,
mouth.
That's a proof, an unrefutable proof. Next.
By the way, horses, they like have like toenails. You actually cut them like with a big toenail cutter.
Okay, so they have toenails.
It's not toenails. It's like it's a heart, but it looks like.
Howard, so scholarly.
I can't believe the expertise we have around this table.
It's amazing.
Well, you're riding a horse. You just look at the hoof. You see, and then they go with these big like tweezer things, and you know.
Okay, good. Just make sure they don't kick you, right?
Standing at the other end, hopefully.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, the Ein Marbin Behema B'moid. You don't mate animals on Chol HaMoed. I guess you have to put them in the stable together. Whatever you got to do to make to get the studs to do what they do, because you don't have to do that on Chol HaMoed. Right? Obviously, that could be that. It's not a Tzorche Moed that the animal has to be impregnated on Chol HaMoed. All right? Aval, but what you could do for your animals are Mekizin Lodam, you could bloodlet for it. You don't hold back any refuah. The animal needs to be healthy, that's for sure. And now, once we're talking about that, what about a person now? What about certain foods and drinks that healthy people wouldn't eat it only if it's for medicinal purposes, which we would not eat on Shabbos?
Or Yom Tov.
You can eat and drink them on Chol HaMoed. we're not so strict on that. Because the whole problem, you can't do it on Shabbos Yontif, is maybe what? You're going
just
to crush the samamanin, right, the herbs. But really, many people say that even on Chol Moed you could crush the herbs, because that's a need for the Moed. Shabbos, you don't have this leniency, a need for Shabbos. I need it for Shabbos, I can go cook. No, too bad. All your work has to be done before Shabbos. Chol Moed, we don't have that rule. So if you need it for Chol Moed, you need it for Chol Moed. So what if I need to take a mortar and pestle and make medicine on Chol Moed? You could do it. So if I could do that, certainly I could take medicine. Right? So that's why that's allowed. Okay. Tezayin. Now, this is a very practical halacha. Ein mefanin mechotzer lechotzer. You can't move your premises from one courtyard to another. It's moving furniture. You can't move from one courtyard to another. V'lo mikiur lana. Not even from an ugly apartment to a nice apartment. Certainly not from an ugly one, from a nice one to an ugly one. However, aval mefanahu mibayis labayis ve'osachotzer. You could move from one room to another within the same courtyard, because that already is not something that's so, it's not that much labor intensive, and it's not that well known to other people, and there's less in use of that. So that's okay.
This refers to just like moving, yourself, like moving furniture, etc.
Well, remember, whatever you can't do, you can't have a goy do for you on Chol Moed either, right?
No, but if you lived within the same courtyard, you could theoretically move all your belongings.
That's what he's saying you could do. Yeah. It's not that big a problem.
This has nothing to do with, like, if you have guests show up, like, you have a busload of tourists show up and you're going to put them up for Chol Moed or something or other. You couldn't, you know, open new rooms in your hacienda there or whatever.
Why not?
What's wrong with opening up a room? You're not, what are you doing?
Putting in the furniture or whatever, moving, getting them ready.
It's just changing your
that would be different. That would be that's a tzarchi moed. You need to. These people need a place. To sleep.
You need a proper place,
right? I guess you're having empty rooms that you have to fill them up with furniture, right? So that you need a tzarchi moed. Here, do you have to move on Chol Moed? Who says you got to move on Chol Moed? What do you got to move for? Move after Chol Moed. You know, I always people ask these questions. You know, the day before Chol Moed. Oh, we're moving. Can we move? Like, it's supposed to that's that question when you're deciding when to move. So that's right. What day can we move? You always get the questions after they decide they're moving. So let's see what the halacha is over here regarding moving. So just like we said, malachas are not allowed because there's tircha involved. So many activities that cause exertion, even if there's no malacha, is not allowed. So strenuous tasks, even if it's not a malacha, would be an obstacle to Simchas Yontif. So therefore, the example they give is you can't move on Chol Moed from one residence to another, because moving heavy furniture and your belongings, that's a lot of physical exertion and mental strain. I think any of us who has moved understands, you know, of mein Seinem gesorgt, which means for my enemies, they should have that, right? So that's clearly something that, you know, you can't do. And then he brings down below here from, I forgot which rabbi over is in the Mishnah Berurah even. He says, you can't move on Chol Moed in any way. One second. He says, nowadays you can't move it on Chol Moed because it's a zilzul gadol hu b'kedusha moed. It's denigrating in a great way the holiness of the Chol Moed, unless it would bring a davar ha'avod, a great financial loss. So for example, and he's going to bring this again in the next page, later on in the book, he spells it out clearly. He says like this. He says, where is it now? So you can't move from one apartment to another. In order to avoid a loss, if he could have done so earlier, let's say you bedakka left moving it for Chol Moed, you didn't have to on Chol Moed, then we don't care. Let's say, for example, the guy says, the guy says, listen, you got to move out. If you don't move out by the first, I'm charging you for a whole month.
Oh boy.
You know, so now the guy, like, you were saying, listen, I want to move out on the 8th, because the 8th, the yontif is over, and I move from the 8th, I move to the next one on the 9th. And so the first owner says, listen, you're going to stay till the 8th, you're paying for a whole month. Well, that could, if it's an expensive apartment, that could be a big loss. The guy just barely has enough money to pay the new place. He's got to pay two places, right? So that's what he's saying. If you don't get out right away, you're going to have to pay a whole month, right? Or, so that would be considered a dover ha'avud. And then, in other words, you want to move after Yontif. And the guy's not letting you move after Yontif. So that would be considered financial loss. But what if you deliberately planned to move that way and you didn't have to? So then you would not be allowed to move.
What if you're stupid and, you know, you booked it on the wrong day and then your wife tells you, but guess what, it's going away. You know?
Then your wife was stupid. Whatever, you can't do it.
Here they bring the Mishnah Berurah here that says if you're moving from a non-Jewish neighborhood to a Jewish neighborhood.
Oh, so then they bring it down. I had the footnote somewhere. It's somewhere, I don't remember. Maybe it's in my Hebrew one too. Which footnote is that?
57.
Oh, I marked it off. Why didn't I mark the page? I forgot to mark the page. Okay. 306, because I have it over here. That's why I didn't get to it yet. One second. There's another thing. He says like this. Yerushalmi brings down, maybe this one he brings it as well. Yerushalmi brings down, what if you want to move from an apartment to your house, to a house?
Why is that not the same as moving from a less quality?
So he says, the Yerushalmi says, even if you're moving from a nice apartment to a less attractive home, you're allowed to do it. Why? Because it's a big simcha for a person to live in his own house. Because now you're happy. You're doing a lot of labor to make that happiness happen. But that's what Yerushalmi says. And I think that's what he quotes now. The Ravid says that one can move away from rent an apartment once home during Chol HaMoed, right? That's what he says. Because it's Kayaya. The Magid Mishnah says that Rambam does not mention this ruling. Rambam doesn't mention this halacha. The Magid Mishnah says why? Because it conflicts with statements of the Gemara. There's a difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Usually Rambam doesn't quote Yerushalmi. However, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Ravid who quotes this Yerushalmi. And with the preface, he says, there are those who say, in other words, a Yesh Omer, that if you're moving from an apartment to a house, it's okay. The Ramah mentions that so in other words, Shulchan Aruch seems to say it's a Yesh Omer. Those say. So the Ramah says another thing. If you live in a dangerous neighborhood, you can move on Chol HaMoed. And that leniency applies even to allow a person to move from a non-Jewish neighborhood to a Jewish neighborhood, even if it's not dangerous. So you have a chance to move out of Newmarket, and now you decided to move to Thornhill.
Wow.
And if the move is on Chol HaMoed, you can go on Chol HaMoed because it's a great simcha to move into that part of town.
So what you're saying, there's not enough simcha to go from an unpleasant to a pleasant apartment.
That's not enough because it's not.
You don't own it.
It's more so. What at the end of the day, you don't own it. But if you're changing neighborhoods, then okay. If you're, you know, all those things, that's when the leniences apply. Okay, let's continue. But what about just utensils? We're not moving the whole house, but. Okay, one second. You can bring utensils that you need for Yontif. You can bring it from the craftsman's shop.
Need for Chol HaMoed?
Yeah, for Chol HaMoed. You need it.
I thought the rabbi said Yontif.
Well, or you bring it for before Yontif, but it's on Chol HaMoed.
Okay.
You're going Kari Muksas Slochis, pillows, blankets, and bottles. Those are common necessities. You need it. But with utensils that you don't need it for the Moed. You go on Machresha Shel Alotesh, a plow of, I don't know, Alotesh is some kind of a plowman or whatever.
An ironmonger, they say.
Whatever that means, right? Otsemer Mvesatzaba, or some wool from a dyer. Those are not generally Chol HaMoed and Yontif needs. Ein Mevin, you don't bring it, because that's excessive work for no need. And also, people will think that you're doing it Mamish on Chol HaMoed itself. So anyway, but being a woman, what if you got a guy, remember he had a leniency of the craftsman, has nothing to eat. You want to give him work to do. So then, nice scar, you give him money. But, he said, when you finish a job, leave it in your shop till after Yontif. Because this way, the guy gets paid for his work, but we don't have to bring it home.
How about if you don't
But what if, I mean, what if you don't trust the guy? You kind of guy, he'll take the money, he might get drunk, and then burn the house down.
So
tell him to put it in the house next door. And if you don't trust the people next door, maybe they'll steal it. The final chatzak has put it into a different courtyard. Don't bring it to your house unless it's done discreetly and nobody knows about it.
What in tzedek you have to be here? You're paying the guy just so he has, you know.
It's not unusual, Howard. Remember the golden rule. No good deed goes unpunished.
Oh boy.
Give the guy parnasa, he'll turn around and say, I don't know who you are.
Hold on.
You ever had that,
Howard? Never seen that happen, Howard.
He's a saint.
And I guess you've been very sheltered all your life.
So okay. Is the neighbor a non-Jew?
No policy, I don't hire Jews.
Could be a Jew. Could be a Jew.
So how can you can move it to a to a Jew's place, and you can't move it to your place?
What?
You're allowed to move it to a fellow Jew's place, but not your own? Would it look bad?
Well, there's not a lot of moving. It's just from, it's a room next door. It's private.
Oh,
remember, within a chutzner, you can move it in a chutzner,
right.
Things like that.
Okay, that kind of neighbor, okay.
Okay, we're going to do so we really stopped Chol HaMoed, and really there's a lot more halacha, so we're going to do, what we're going to do is like this. My plan is next week, no matter what, we're starting Hilchos Chanukah.
Whoa.
So we're going to do is, by tomorrow, we'll finish this up, and we'll have maybe 15, 20 minutes, we'll just go to certain various Hilchos Chol HaMoed just to wrap up. I don't want to spend the whole next week doing Hilchos Chol HaMoed.
I mean, you're going to wait to do Hilchos Chanukah.
But we've stopped the laws of Chol HaMoed, and now from Yud Zayin until the end, the last four halachas, we're talking about not working on Erev Yom Tov.
Ah.
I'm not going to like this. Some guys are not going to like this. Yud Zayin.
No.
Aser Lasos. Look at this Rambam. It's pretty clear. Aser Lasos Melacha Ba'arve Yamim Tovim Min Amin Chalamala. You're forbidden to do Melacha on Erev Yom Tov from Mincha onwards. And which Mincha? It's Mincha Ketana, which is 2.5 hours before sunset, which is when Pesach and Sukkot's time is approximately 4:30 or so. I could be off a little bit. But 4:30, you don't do any work. Kemo Arvi Shabbosos! Just like an Erev Shabbos, you're not supposed to work within 2.5 hours. Shos Manios. So in November and December, it's going to be like about 3 o'clock.
Friday afternoon.
What if
you don't work Friday? You have to.
But what if you do?
Oh, then that's a problem.
All right.
Is malacha Shabbos malacha, or this is
no any malacha?
Work, no, making money, work.
How about getting home?
No. It means working to make a living. Okay. Work to make
if
a living.
If you stop working at 2:30 and get on the subway, that's fine.
You're not working.
That's a good question. What time do you have to go to the mikvah? And where's your schluck?
So, I don't know. That's a good shiloh. Do we consider a traveling part of your work or not? That's a good question.
Sleep on the subway.
I know, but you're definitely not thinking about...
You'll be learning Torah on the subway.
You're not... Okay.
That'll get
all right, good. Listen. Okay, I'll advise you. You get out of work by then. Okay, look at this one, guys. You do work at that time, Eina Roa Simon Brachom, you'll never see a blessing from that money forever.
Lolam.
The Garbon, we scream at such a guy who does it. We forcibly stop him from working. We send the police in, the Jewish police, and pick him up, take him right out of his shop, and throw him out.
Whoa.
So it's not a joke. The Chofetz Chaim talks a lot about this, even in good old-fashioned Radin. There were store owners who kept the stores open past Shkia.
With Chofetz Chaim around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not in Meir Shirim.
I'm just saying. But what do they do in there? So when's the ladies go buy something in Yerushalayim, in Meir Shirim? Maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. That's it. Everything's shut locked. You got to go to Supersol if you want anything after that.
In a good portion of the country, it's like that.
But I'm saying, the only things you go to see, maybe the bakeries are still open. There's a bakery you'll catch. You go to Neve Daniel. There's a nice bakery in Neve Daniel. You'll be able to go an hour and a half.
Where?
In Neve Daniel.
In Neve Daniel?
Yeah, there's a bakery there. I forgot the guy. He's got two branches. Ira took us there. He's got the yellow boxes, the greatest. I forgot the name of the bakery. He's got one as you go into the Shomron, and one the last bakery before you go into the Shomron, and one in the Beit Daniel. And this guy, the owner, is like this. If it's, I think, about an hour and a half before Shabbos, exactly, whatever's left over belongs to the soldiers.
Wow.
It belongs to the soldiers. If you come and you want to buy, he says, I'm sorry, it belongs to the soldiers. Only, he says, only if you don't have a challah. Chal you have to have for Shabbos. So it's a mitzvah to have a chal. A chal he'll sell you. But you want pastry already?
No.
It's the soldiers. An hour and a half before. Anyway, interesting.
So they come to the bakery and they take it?
The soldiers? It's for them. They pack it up, whatever. It's all for the soldiers.
We don't leave the borders unguarded.
Anyway. But if you work after that time, you'll get no bracha. We stop there. However, let's continue. Avolain makin also makas mardus. But we don't give rabbinic lashes. That far we don't go. Vein sarachloma, and all the more so, shame and honesty, we don't excommunicate the guy because that's a stricter punishment than lashes.
Thank God.
Chutz, except however, may Erev HaPesach Achar HaChatzos.
Oh boy.
Erev Pesach, we're much stricter.
Midday.
Once it's midday, about 1 o'clock or so, that's it. Chosabo Malach Achar HaChatzos. If anybody does work after HaChatzos, Erev Pesach, Menadon, so they excommunicate the guy, Ben Sarachloma goes without saying, Shemakin Oso Makas Martis, they lash the guy in Loni Duhu if they didn't excommunicate the guy. Why are we so strict on Erev Pesach? Because the Erev, the 14th of Nisan after Chatzos, is not like any other Erev Yontif. There is korbanos that have to be brought, specifically the korban Pesach and the korban Chagiga. And the Gemara says it doesn't make sense that you should be working while your korban is being brought.
Oh boy.
So since in the times of the Beis HaMikdash it was usur, we say it's forever forbidden to do this.
I'm putting it in my diary. Go home.
All right. So that's like mamish. No work at that point. And again, obviously there'll be no simon bracha from that as well. So Yud Ches gives us the conclusion to that. Lefikach, therefore, Yomar Basor Benisan, the 14th of Nisan, Osir Basias Melocha Midivre Sofrim, Kemo Chole Shalmoi. The 14th obviously means the 14th after, he's saying you're not allowed to do work rabbinically, just like Chol HaMoed. Okay. But it's more lenient, me Chol HaShomoed. It's a little less, strict with Chol HaMoed. Mean to say, number one, Veino Usr Ela Mechatzi Hayom Ulamal. First, only Usr from Chatzos. Well, Chol HaMoed all day long. Shuzman HaShchikas is the time of the Korban Pesach. Avo Mehanetzach Hama, but from sunrise, Ad Chatzi Hayom, until midday, what's the status of that? Totally Beminik. It depends on the customs of the locale. But one thing's for sure, before sunrise, everybody says you could work, and there's no minik at all. You could work the night before, whatever, you can work 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, but already by nates, can't work. But then it's minhagim. So, malkam shenagu lasos, in a place where the custom was to work, oisin, you could work. Malkam shenagu shalo lasos, in a place where the custom was not to work, ain osim, you don't work. Now, it's interesting, this minug of not working before Chatzos, what would be the reason for that? It can't be because of the Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach isn't brought until after Chatzos.
You're trying to get ready for Pesach.
Right? So you don't do that. So we see in the Bavli, Talmud Bavli gives a reason, it says, Haminaghu, it's a minug, because Tzorech Yontif, to get yourself ready for Yontif. Right? I mean, you're going to be busy afternoon with the Korban Pesach, right, waiting in line. It's going to take a couple hours to deal with the Korban Pesach. See, when are you going to get ready for Yontif? Makes sense.
You got to make your matzah.
You got to get things ready for Pesach. Or even the Korban Pesach. You know, you got to do things for that. You know, get the Korban Pesach ready before you bring it. Or nowadays, you got to get the matzahs ready and the mor ready and the utensils ready and all that stuff's got to get ready. Right. So it comes out that even though, so therefore it's not a problem. There was a machlokes over here. Russia. But the Rambam, he only says the issue of after Chatzos is because of the Korban Pesach. The ones who give the reason for before Chatzos is saying we gotta get ready for Yontif. So therefore, the best thing obviously to do for a good Jew is to not work at all on Erev Pesach.
There you go.
Clearly that's the best thing. We go with the letter of the law, depends on the minhag hamakom. So there's no minhagim in Toronto at all. So you definitely, if you want to work until 1 o'clock, you're okay in that area.
No.
But really, that's okay. But okay. But after 1 o'clock, you'll see no simon bracha from that at all. We'll stop here. We'll leave 3 halachas for tomorrow. We'll wrap it up.
Go ahead, guys. Yeah.